It's too late. Do you know that there's such a thing as too late? We experience it every day in our lives. We arrive to a movie too late. We got to our jobs too late. But we often don't encounter serious too lates. Maybe we had when we were in school or when we had certain deadlines at work. That there are serious too lates. Maybe you arrived at the birth of your child too late, or you arrived at a wedding too late. But there's some even more serious ones. You know, there was this one year where I had this month-long program where I was learning in the Holy Land. And on the way back to the United States, I was able to pass through Paris, and I wasn't leaving until the next day in my flight. And so I thought, I have this span of time. If I go to Sacré-Cœur, I can go and spend the night in adoration. I just need to get there right on time. And the time frame that I had was so short. So I arrived in the Charles de Gaulle airport, and I took the buses, I did all this huge long transit, I went through the subway system, and I went to the entrance of this convent that's kind of around the corner. There's these Carmelites that run it, because you can do adoration inside of Sacré-Cœur, which is this beautiful church in Paris. They've been doing adoration for maybe 140 years, or at least more than 100 years. And if you get there on time, I thought I was going to be able to spend the night, pray before Jesus, and it was going to be the end of an awesome trip. Well, you guessed it, I arrived too late. And I'll never forget that feeling. I was banging on the gates that are in front of the church because you can't even go up to the doors. And I just had this feeling of being left out. And then I went around to the convent and rang on the doorbell several times. Nothing. Too late. My friends, in our salvation, did you know that there's such a thing as too late? Did you know that it can be too late for God's mercy? Because we live in a time of mercy, we presume that it's always going to be there. But there's such a thing as too late. In today's video, I want to explore this topic. My friends, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, fill us with your power and give us confidence. Fill us with your mercy and help us to trust in you, but help us to take advantage of it at the right time. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, this is a channel Uniquely Mary. And thank you for joining me. If you love this channel, if you like these videos, hit the like button. Pray for me. Know that if you are watching my videos, I am praying for you. So this is one of the few YouTube channels that you are prayed for simply by being here and watching these videos. And please also know that with every video, what I want you to know is that Jesus loves you and Mary loves you. They love you so much. So if you don't learn anything, know this. Jesus and Mary love you so much. Give your hearts to them. Let them lead you by the hand. They will take you to heaven. And if you were in their presence, oh, it'd be so amazing. So my friends, I want to talk about the idea that it's too late for mercy. So Divine Mercy Sunday was now a week ago. And in the requests from the Diary of Divine Mercy, that was a long series of revelations revealed to Saint Faustina, one of the most magnificent mystics in the church history. She is called the Apostle of Divine Mercy or the Secretary of Divine Mercy. She's truly a magnificent saint, and her book, Diary of Divine Mercy, is unbelievable. It will lead you and take you to the heart of mercy, which is Jesus himself, in a way that no book you've ever read has done before. It is just hundreds of pages of all these things that Jesus revealed to her. So important. So one of the things that he asked her and he gave her was this promise of Divine Mercy Sunday, that whoever receives communion on the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, would receive complete forgiveness of sin and punishment. So that means that if they were to die, not only would they be able to go to heaven, but they would have no debt. So they wouldn't have to go to purgatory. Now, for many people, they think that there's no such thing as purgatory, there is, and Jesus created it, whether you believe so or not. He made it, and it's there. And for those of you that do believe it, some people say, oh, well, I'm just going to be there for like 5 minutes. Not true. When you die, time stops and changes dramatically. So our stay in purgatory, even if it's just a few moments, will feel like many weeks, if not many years. You know, there's a wonderful video about a man who was in hell for some amount of time. I think it was like for like 39 minutes or something like that, 23 minutes in hell. And he describes it feeling like he was there for so long, for an eternity. And most people that have near-death experiences will say the exact same thing. They're all consistent in saying that time after we die feels so much longer because of the change that happens in us after we die. And so even if we're in purgatory for 5 minutes, it'll feel like forever. And if you hear of anyone that's had mystical experiences about purgatory, saints, mystics, modern, past ones, whomever, they all agree it's very, very, very painful. So even if you're just there for a moment, you don't want to be there. However, this promise essentially is described as like being rebaptized, where all your sins and all of that is wiped away. Well, you know what? It's too late. Divine Mercy Sunday was a week ago, at least at the time of this filming. It's too late for you to take advantage of it. And I've been thinking about that. You know, when I was celebrating that Divine Mercy Sunday, every minute and every second felt so powerful and different. And when the day ended, I remember because I stayed up till midnight because every moment felt drenched in God's mercy. When the day ended, I felt the dramatic difference. And you know, I'm not someone that feels things. I don't feel spiritual things or feel this or feel that. You know how people will say, I feel like the Holy Spirit this or I feel that. Well, I'm not one of those people. But that day felt palpably different. It felt drenched in God's mercy. Well, at midnight on that Sunday, I felt it end. Now, when you hear different people describe it, some will say, you know, that a week before, a week after, but it's over. It's over. And in praying about that, the Lord put on my heart something that He wants to share with you. Now, in light of this idea that mercy and the time of mercy will end, I want you to hear this. This is from the Diary of Divine Mercy, number 1146. Now, I will put a quote to it right here so that you can look it up because this is extremely important. And Jesus says this. So many things for us to unpack here. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, write about my mercy towards tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion, but on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. Right. Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. Let that sit with you. Now, first of all, these two elements, justice and mercy. Justice is what is owed God. Plain and simple. That's what the philosophers and theologians would say. Justice is what we owe to God. And that includes what we owe to ourselves, what we owe to others, what we owe to the world, and what we owe to the church, and what we owe to God. So what we owe to God includes everything that we are responsible for. When we die, we are judged according to what we did not do or what we trespassed and did negatively. And that includes things we weren't aware of that we were supposed to have done. So it's not just, did I sin, but it's also the sins of omissions, the things that I forgot to do, or I was too lazy to do, or I didn't do for one reason or another. We're going to render an account to God's justice. Now, since Jesus took upon himself all the sins of humanity, and he suffered super abundantly for any possible amount of sins that we could ever even conceive of. We can apply those through various means to pay off our debt. That allows God, that is what God uses for mercy. That is what God uses for mercy. He wanted it to be real. He could have snapped his fingers and just forgiven everything, but he wanted his mercy to come from a real deposit. He wanted his mercy to come from a real place, not just, you know, like he wanted to, so to speak, follow the rules. That's why Jesus suffered. He actually paid off what we didn't do. He did to pay off what we didn't do, if that makes sense. So that's the relationship between those two things. And in this short phrase, this short sentence or paragraph of information that he gives St. Faustina, you know, he says something so interesting. He says, "Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy." Now, I don't know which pope it is that said it. I think Pope John Paul II, possibly Pope Francis. But we had the Year of Mercy. Certainly the year St. Joseph is a year filled with mercy. And then St. John Paul II used this phrase. And so I think when they were using this phrase, it's like as if Providence was saying, this is the time. This is the time. I'm opening this door. Let me suggest to you that this door is closing. It has certainly closed a lot since the time of Jesus, but it is closing more and more. And I'm afraid it will be closed very soon. How soon? I don't want to be one of those doomsday people, because we cannot live in fear. But the door of God's mercy is closing. It is closing very soon. And God is trying to warn you through me and many other people, and you do not want to pass through his justice. God's justice is just. It's fair. But it's hardcore. That's why he sent Jesus to suffer for us, so that we could appeal to his mercy. Now, this is meant to instill in you a desire and a zeal to go to his mercy, to bring others to mercy, to do what I'm doing. So in a certain sense, I want to scare you. The door of mercy is closing. But I also want to give you hope. I also want to impel you to run through that door, and that you have nothing to fear except when it's closed. Listen to what he says again. Let the greatest sinners, cheaters, adulterers, murderers, pedophiles, terrible people, horrible people, Satanists, everyone. Let the greatest sinners, abortion doctors, abortion recipients, everyone. Hitler, if he were still alive. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. You know, our church, instead of being judgmental, it is. If anyone makes a mistake, cut them down. And the secular world is just as bad. If anyone makes a mistake, cut them down. Cancel culture or everything else is throw them out. They're not worthy. Hypocrites. Our world, secular or religious, does not reflect God's mercy, in my opinion. We do not yet stand in that gap of mercy. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. That means you. Place your trust in his mercy. They have the right before others. The right. You have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. I remember that movie of the late 80s or early 90s, The Abyss. And gosh, I've never seen an abyss, but it's like an immense canyon that goes and goes and never stops. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish. Listen to this. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner. Greatest sinner is not like I miss Mass on Sunday, or I said a bad word, or I yelled at my wife, or I yelled at my husband, or I hit my kid, or whatever. Greatest sinner is like terrible people. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. Wow. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. But yet, he says, before I come as just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. My friends, I hope you've stayed until this point in the video. Please, we have no reason to be afraid, except when that door closes. Do not be one of those people that is locked out like I was, and you say it's too late. When it's too late, it's too late. Take advantage of his mercy now. Repent. Turn to Jesus. Go to confession. Change your life. Run towards him. He's waiting for you. My friends, I love you, but Jesus and Mary love you so much more. I'll see you in the next video.